All right. We're still in Luke. Still in Luke 12. We are in verse 32, I think. Yeah, we studied little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's verse 32. We're going to talk about good pleasure. It's just the word that means well-pleased or think well of or think good. But it's extremely important for us to understand it. So let's look let's look in Matthew first, Matthew 3. The word is, in the phonetic spelling, is eudokio. And this is the first time it's used in the Gospels.
Which one, pleasure?
Good, yeah, it's good pleasure or well pleased, or. And this is, starting verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have you need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Then he suffered or allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, why was he well pleased at that point? And what did he mean when he said to John to fulfill all righteousness? It must be so to fulfill all righteousness. You've got to understand this issue of Son of Man and Son of God. As Son of Man, he had to take care of the curse. The curse, up until this point, the curse reigned. Because every man, with a few exceptions, was interested in independent self. The self becoming something. Even, you know, the exceptions were like Abel and Abraham and Ezekiel and these that saw the mystery in the offerings or in, well, even in Abel was in the offering of, that required death. So he had to.
Abraham was, he sold his wife, misrepresented his wife.
Oh, he lied all the time, but that's not the point. He, at the end, he saw his day and was glad. And that mean, what that means is he was well pleased, and the same as here. Now, therefore, to fulfill all righteousness, he had to see his death as Son of Man and then be tested as Son of God. So the first the first step of fulfilling all righteousness was he, as Son of Man, seeing the fullness of the book of Ecclesiastes. That no matter what happened, no matter what he did, no matter, there could be a Son of Man, you could never be fulfilled. And so as Son of Man, he died, if you will, in baptism and was buried as Son of Man. Now that's the same thing that has to take place in us. Otherwise, we don't fulfill all righteousness. We have to see our death and then be baptized and buried in that death. Then, the walk after that is as Son of, the life of Son of God is in us. And that's the life that's tested after baptism. Does everybody understand that? So to fulfill all righteousness, he had to die and be buried as Son of Man. But he couldn't do it until he had seen the emptiness and vanity of all the human race. Because God saw it and said, my own right arm, my own Zeruah must get me the victory.
There's not much incidents in the Bible where Jesus is exposed to stuff.
No, it's on purpose. Otherwise, we just have a role model.
Yeah. But we got to know it. We got to know that that's part of what he went up to 30 until he was 30.
Right. That's what the whole Bible teaches us, is, or all of Romans does anyway. It teaches us that sin reigned until Jesus. Now, you understand first that you must baptize me so that all righteousness would be fulfilled. And you've got to see how that applies to you. That's why baptism is so critical. But it's not baptism unless you see it's your burial. Otherwise, you know, it's a cliche now, but otherwise you just get wet. It may have some symbolic thing that you think, well, this is kind of neat and all that, but fundamentally, it just, the mystery of God just is a philosophy. Amen? John, you understand that? A little bit, Ronnie?
A little bit.
Well, seeing it is part of it, but accepting it is what most people...
Well, your mind will not accept it.
And that's the rebellion.
Well, that's why until you see it, you shouldn't be baptized if you're, that's not true because... The first century church, they did the same as we do. They baptized people all the time and many times over. Because you have to be reminded that that's your death. And it's a physicality of that, so that it's not just a mental thought. You feel it and sense it.
I think it moves Jesus from being an icon, worshipped out there, to a life.
Right.
Resurrected in you.
Right. You know, people always, I remember John Garlick was on a talk show. I may have told you about this before, but he said that Jesus was his role model, and I called and I just raked him over the coals. What do you mean, Rain's role model? He's your life or he's nothing. Amen. I don't think John talked to me after that. No. Anyway, let's go to. This is the first time that God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay, let's go to chapter 12 of Matthew.
There's a word I've seen for years. I don't know what it means. What does raiment mean?
Pardon?
Raiment.
Raiment. R-A-I...
M-E-N-T?
Yeah, right. It's clothing.
Oh, you know what it means?
When I
Jesus has just healed a man with a withered hand. And then, well, in verse 13, then he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Now that's Isaiah 42. Let's look at Isaiah 42 so we can see the prophecy being fulfilled. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, my chosen one, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And then we study the rest of this. He will not cry nor lift up his, nor lift up. Cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. So that's a pretty direct, this is why Isaiah, you know, there's no question Isaiah couldn't have said these things unless he saw this mystery of Christ fulfilled in the law. Amen?
And was John in the New Testament kind of the same visionary for the forcing of Christ as Isaiah was in the Old Testament?
Well, Isaiah, I mean, John was the first.
Or he proclaimed him?
Hmm?
Or he was the first to proclaim him?
No, the demons were the first to proclaim him. But again, from the standpoint, the Old Testament is prophecy, foretelling. The New Testament prophecy is forthtelling. So John was a prophet, the first prophet in 400 years, but he wasn't foretelling now, he was forthtelling, he was declaring. And this had to take place in time, but we see it out of time. So both Isaiah and John were really talking at the same instant because it's out of time. Amen?
John's ministry was physical in a sense to baptize. Isaiah was to prophesy much more.
But he had to see it. It says, he's not saying, behold my servant in whom that I'm going to see someday in the future. He's saying, behold my servant in whom my soul delighteth at that instant. So he's saying that at the same instant that John was baptizing. Because there's no time. Am I confusing everybody again? Shut up, Ronnie. Here you go. I'm getting blinded here. Ha! All right, let's go to Matthew 12, I think. Did we go to Matthew 12 yet?
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
All right, then we go to Matthew 17. This is the Transfiguration. So this is, again, a momentous thing, because at the Mount of Transfiguration, all law, physical law, spiritual law, everything had been fulfilled. And so he was transfigured. He could have stayed, but let's look at and see. After 6 days, John taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them to a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Then behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one, I just love that, and one for Elijah. That's what we would do. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But now, he said, not just he's well pleased, it says, Hear ye him. Now, let's go to Hebrews 12, I think. What? Yeah, chapter 12. Chapter 11 was all about the suffering of the saints. The world was not worthy. They were blah, blah, blah. And we, there, and wherefore, I feel goofy. I guess my no sleep has made me goofier. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, and notice ours in italics. He's the author and finisher of faith, not our faith. Who for the joy, and for there is hooper. And it means instead of. Who instead of the joy that was set before him, and that joy was what he felt at the Mount of Transfiguration. So instead of that joy, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He could have stayed there. That's the whole point. He could have stayed in glory. But that's why Elijah and Moses, the only thing they talked about was his death, which was to be accomplished in Jerusalem. Because God sent them to encourage Jesus not to stay there. You got to see that. He could have stayed. But then, what would have, he'd have just been a role model instead of our life. And this is another one of these huge moments in his life that is critical to understand, that instead of that joy that was set before, so on his first tabernacles, he changed the water into wine. That was the definition of his ministry, to change water as a human race to wine, the bride. Second tabernacles, he was transfigured. On third tabernacles, he roared out, He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So now he's waiting now for the fourth tabernacles, if you will, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's his goal. That's God's goal. Everything else is nothing. What, you're doing it again?
Well, I'm having trouble with the joy word. I always thought of joy as the bride that he looked for. glory may then.
Well, that's what ended up, but the point is he was tested there. Instead of that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Well, what joy was set before him without the bride?
It's personal there. So he had to, again, not my will but thine. And Moses and Elijah were there to encourage him on that issue.
But he'd been baptized.
Huh?
He was already baptized.
Yeah, so his death as Son of Man was accomplished. But his death as Son of God wasn't accomplished yet.
That's true.
Okay. So, all right, let's go to... where should we go? Let's go to Galatians. Now, let's talk... Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Now the difference between the joy of the Lord and him being well pleased. Chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be them some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so I now say now I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Okay, so what happens here, we have two things. We have what he had preached and what we had received. And that the mystery there is that he's saying you had already received it before I preached it. But that's not what we're talking about. For, and this is the verse we're talking about, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, this is critical, because every time the gospel is twisted slightly to benefit man, than you preaching another gospel. And that's what everybody wants to hear. They want to hear a gospel that benefits them because they can continue on in the curse of self-realization. The realization of the independent self, and it's just pure, it's beyond evil.
Yeah, part of the evil there is because you're doing it now in the name of God.
Right. You're emphasizing and improving on the curse in the name of God.
Yeah. And like you say, I can do it out of my own strength now that I'm a Christian.
Well, I mean, no, it's even worse. It's God is strengthening me so I can do it, and I can become, and I can be a champion for Jesus, and I can be successful, and I can have great things, and I blah, 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 blah. As we talks about it elsewhere, where he said, they that preach gain is godliness, gain of any kind is godliness, let him be accursed. But I promise you, your mind wants to hear that gain is godliness. Everything in you wants to hear that. Okay.
You know, that jumping back to the death of God, which is a quantum leap from death of self, relates totally to this to me. It's because when we found it, you know, we say to ourselves,
see it,
then you accept your death.
You die.
Yeah.
Well, there's a this is a good time place to stop. We got a lot of other unmistakable pleasure stuff. Because I want to see how he sees us if we're faithful.
See what?
How God sees us when we're faithful. But this is really important. This is I mean, you're testing us every second almost. If I yet please men, if I yet please myself, I should not be the servant of Christ. This flies in the face of everything in modern Christianity. But it agrees with everything in your mind. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.